Last week we talked to you about the forgiveness of God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You think the love of God's amazing, and it is. Consider the forgiveness of God, equally as amazing. Look here, we sin and God is willing to forgive us. We sin, He sends His Son Jesus. He dies for us to provide for us forgiveness. God does not forgive you because you asked for it. God forgives you because Jesus paid the price for the forgiveness. So when you ask for it, He's already to give it to you. It's incredible. Forgiveness. It's unbelievable. God's forgiveness. And that was the subject of last week's message. Now this morning, there's another side to forgiveness I want you to understand today. Now, this one is not as joyous. And initially, it's not as rejoicing. But it is just as much a part of forgiveness as the fact that God is willing to forgive you. And this truth I want to get across to you briefly, quickly this morning is this. There is a place where there is no forgiveness. I want to talk to you today about where there is no forgiveness. See, but Pastor Johnson, God always forgives. You're right about that, but there is a proviso. There's a limitation. There is a point. Now, not just where we are in Scripture this morning, but and I'm not, because of the time frame, I'm not going to move you around in the Bible a great deal. I'm going to ask you just to, in some respects, just sort of trust me that I know what I'm talking about. I'm not running for office, so I do know what I'm talking about. And I want you to listen very carefully this morning. But now I want you to dial in on this truth, this thought, along with understanding that God forgives. And it's amazing when you think about it. God's forgiveness is complete. It's lasting. It's permanent. If God ever forgives you of something, He never remembers it again. Psalm 103 and verse 12, as far as east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. You and your God and forgiven sin, we'll never meet up. That's amazing. That's just incredible. But on the side of forgiveness also, we need to understand that the Bible teaches that there are some places, as it were, there is some place where there is no forgiveness. And there's more than one of those. Sometimes it's a place, sometimes it's a person. But there does come a time and a place where forgiveness is not available. What we cannot do this morning is just operate on the principle, well, I'll always be forgiven, so I don't have to worry about that. Excuse me. You're going to mistake something, and I guarantee you, multitudes will miss the fact that there is a place where there's no forgiveness. Where is there no forgiveness? Number one, it's with God. We just read in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and 32, Jesus talking about, and I want you to look at it again this morning. Matthew 12, verse 31 and 32. Here's Jesus speaking. He says, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but, now He puts a proviso here, and you need to see this. All manner of sin shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, I'll explain that to you in a moment, shall not be forgiven unto men. Now look at verse 32. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. No place of forgiveness when you commit this one sin. And God said, I won't do it. I will not forgive you of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I will not forgive you for that. Everything else, dear people, do you realize people could curse the name of Jesus and God would forgive them of that? But if they commit the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, God says, I will not forgive you. I will not forgive you in this life. I will not forgive you in the next life. The word world here means age or time. It means in this life anytime or in the next life at any time. That's a sin that's an unforgiven sin. We call it the unpardonable sin. Now, I want you to listen very carefully this morning. You think about that. You put it in the list of things that mankind does to mankind, put it on the list of things that mankind does against the God of heaven, and there's one thing He is, and that's the only place in the Bible, only mentioned in the Bible, only where in the Word of God, where Jesus ever talks about a sin that will not be forgiven, and it's this one. Now, why do you want to learn about where there's no place for forgiveness? Because you never want to go there. You never want to get to that place. You never want to get beyond the forgiveness of God. In this particular sin, God says, I won't forgive you for this. But what is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost? Blasphemy in the Bible means this. It means to speak against. It means to reject. It means to speak evil of. But literally in this case, it means to resist, verbally or otherwise, the Holy Spirit of God and His working. Jesus told us in John 14, 15, and 16 what the working of the Holy Spirit is for our day and age today. To reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment, He said. To convince us that we are sinners and we need a Savior. And now look at me. And blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is committed by a person, not in an act, but by a continual process of rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit in their life to bring them to salvation. Do you understand how desperately God wants us to be saved? Calvary proves that. The Word of God proves that. The working of the Holy Spirit proves that. God has done everything He could do to get people to understand their need of salvation. Now look here. And when a person hears the gospel of Christ, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and they understand that salvation is in the person of Christ and Christ alone, not the church, not religion, not baptism, not communion, not confirmation, Jesus Christ, His death on the cross, His resurrection from the grave, nothing else. Can't add to it, can't take from it. Just a pure, simple, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and that's Jesus. I trust Christ to save me, and He does. When a person hears that, the Holy Spirit of God impresses on their heart and mind, you need to take care of that. You need to do that. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not saying no once. It's saying no again and again and again and again. And you have people witness to you and you reject that. You have loved ones who encourage you to get saved and you reject that. And you sit in a church like this and you hear the gospel and you say, no, it's not my religion. It's not my way. It's not my philosophy. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not rejecting Christ. It is rejecting Christ over and over and over again. See, in a real sense, every one of us today, unless you got saved the first time you heard about salvation, unless you got saved the first time you heard the gospel, you and I have blasphemed the Holy Spirit of God. Mercy gave us a chance. But God draws the line on how many chances that you get, not you. And when we continue to reject that because of unbelief, because we want to do it our way, because of our religion, because it's just not convenient, because I don't care anyway, what difference does it make? It's a point of a decision where you make one more decision to reject Christ. And the Bible says you blaspheme Him for the last time. See, blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is I commit the sin. God determines where it is committed for the last time. And when that happens, there is no salvation. None. The God of heaven will send you straight to hell, but it'll be over His pleading and His working and everything else. Pastor, I'd prefer to hear about the forgiveness of God and how that God is patient and understanding and forgiving. I prefer to hear that myself. I much prefer to say that, but I would not be telling you everything you need to know about forgiveness if you did not understand there is a place where there's no forgiveness and it's crossing the line with God and continually rejecting Christ. Where there is no forgiveness is with God. But that's not the only place. Number two, there is no forgiveness in eternity. In eternity. Do you realize today there is no record in Scripture of anybody ever being forgiven in eternity? No place. Forgiveness is never granted in the next life. Never. No, that's not the way I think it is, Pastor. I think you die and you go there and God does the balance thing. You know, He takes your good and your bad, and if your good's gooder than your good and your bad's not better than your good, He just sort of says, and I think, God, if that doesn't work, He just says, don't worry about it, come on to heaven. And I forgive you. No, there's not one record of anybody ever being forgiven in eternity in the Word of God. Now look at me, and if the Bible says that, that's how it is. Now it means this, though. Please listen. There is no forgiveness in heaven. You know why? You don't need it. You're already forgiven. That's why you're in heaven. You don't get to heaven and are forgiven and get to stay in heaven. You go to heaven because you're already forgiven. And that's, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. This life is where you settle the forgiveness issue here. So there isn't any need of forgiveness in heaven. No one's going to be asking for forgiveness in heaven. No one's going to need forgiveness in heaven because it's all done. If you trusted Christ in this life, if you settled the matter of salvation here, there's no forgiveness in heaven. Don't need it. There are seven judgments recorded in the Bible that will take place one day. Some of them are individual judgments. Some of them are national judgments. Some of them are judgments on a particular nation. But there's seven judgments recorded in the Bible that are yet to take place. And did you know there's not a record of anybody being forgiven at any judgment? None. In eternity, when a person stands before God for judgment, they cannot receive forgiveness. They either already have it, or it's too late. Judgment is a time to determine either reward for what you have done for God or punishment for what you did do that you shouldn't have done. There's no forgiveness in judgment. No place of judgment do you receive forgiveness. In eternity, number three, nobody in hell receives forgiveness. I was reading it again this morning, Luke chapter 16. 2,000 years ago, Jesus told us about a man who died and woke up in hell and lifted up his eyes in torments, looked off into heaven, saw the beggar who used to lay at the gates of his house, Lazarus, and the dogs came and licked his sores. Now that beggar, he looked up into heaven, the rich man, the Bible said, and he saw Lazarus. Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his water, finger in some water and just drop a little on my tongue, for I'm tormented here in this flame. He experienced the literal fires of hell. His memory was still clear. He could remember Lazarus and the good things and the bad. He remembered all of that. Now listen. And when Abraham said, son, there's a great gulf fixed between us. No purgatory. Heaven, hell, that's all. He said, there's a great gulf fixed between us and we can't go over there and you can't come over here. You're there, there, and we're here, here, and that's it. The next thing the rich man said was, then I've got five brothers. Would you please send Lazarus back to life and tell him to go see my brothers and tell him not to come to this place? And Abraham said, son, remember, they have Moses and the prophets, the Bible. If they won't believe that, can't help them. Look at me. But the rich man never asked for forgiveness. He never asked for release because neither were available. In eternity, there is no forgiveness. One more time. It's very basic. I love how the Bible is consistent in the way it presents the truth that you need to know, and that's this. Forgiveness is in this life, not the next one. So I look at me. I don't care what the religions tell you. There is no day coming where God's going to wipe the slate clean. Therefore, being justified through faith, the Bible says through Christ, we have through faith in Christ, we have justification. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified means declared not guilty. In the sight of God, the moment you trust Christ, he justifies you. That means he wipes the slate clean at the moment of your salvation. That's this life again, see? There is no forgiveness in eternity. In one instance, there is no forgiveness with God. And also we find in the Bible, there is a place where there is no forgiveness. And that is, there's no forgiveness by Satan. He never has, nor will he ever forgive anybody. So, well, he can't do that. He's just the devil. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says he's the God of this world. Gods can grant forgiveness. Satan doesn't forgive anybody. No record of mercy from him. You realize that? No record of compassion from the devil. He does all this work to entice people to sin. And when they sin, then he beats them over the head with it. Condemns them. Rubs the nose in it. Make sure everybody else remembers so it goes on and on and on and on and on in their life. How'd you like to be the Benedict Arnold of eternity? Huh? Betray your country and your name becomes synonymous with being a traitor. What a Benedict Arnold. The devil doesn't forgive anybody. So remember that when he entices you to do something wrong and you think he's going to be compassionate about the fact that you failed. No forgiveness with him. There is no forgiveness in a place. It's called after deadlines. You realize that after we die, there's no forgiveness. God set a deadline for this life. You have until your last breathing moment to obtain the forgiveness of God. I've done it before. I've gone to intensive cares, lifted up the curtain of the oxygen tent if they had one, or leaned over the bed of people with hoses and pipes and everything else coming out of them and encouraged them to trust Christ at the last moment. Listen to me. I've held the hand of people who could not speak because they had ventilators down their throat and tubes in their noses and they could talk no longer, but they could still respond by squeezing my hand. And I encouraged them to trust Christ. And I said, now, if you're willing to trust Jesus to save you today, let me explain it to you. Will you let me explain it to me? Squeeze once for yes, twice for no. And they squeezed my hand and I said, okay, here it is. God loves you and Christ died for you and Jesus paid for your sins. Are you willing today to trust the payment Jesus made for your salvation and nothing else? Would you be willing to do that? Squeeze once for yes and twice for no. And they squeezed my hand and held it. One man just about broke my fingers. Yes! I said, now trust Christ. Ask him to save you, sir. And I would lead them as they would pray. Couldn't say a word. I said, now, did you ask Christ for your salvation? Did you mean it? And they squeezed that hand. So that's not right, Pastor Johnson. They shouldn't be able to do that and burn the candle at both ends and blow smoke in God's face. That's just not right. I'm glad you're not God. I'm glad the thief on the cross is glad you're not God. I'm not saying that's the way it should be. I'm saying God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, but I'll never forget the day, Mercy Hospital, third floor. I leaned over the bed of a man and begged him to trust Christ. He could speak no longer. He wasn't on a ventilator. He was just this close to death. The eyes began to sink into his head, and I knew he was going to be gone very soon. And I pled with this man to trust Christ. His eyes were open, and he could see me. And I said, sir, now if you can understand me, would you just blink once for yes? He blinked his eyes, yes. I said, now, your loved one asked me to come and talk with you. I don't mean to bother you, but we both know unless God turns this, you're going to step across to the other side in a few minutes. Let me explain to you that God loves you, friend. Christ died for you. And I began to plead with them to trust Christ. I said, would you be willing to trust Christ? He just stared. I said, do you understand what I'm saying? He blinked once for yes. I said, I can't communicate with you by speaking to you, sir, but please, could I encourage you to trust Christ today? Do you know what you need to do? He blinked once for yes. I said, would you be willing to trust Christ? And he just stared. And I backed up and I said, I appreciate your patience, sir, and please understand, I know the difficulty of this moment, but I need to encourage you with the Lord today. Could I encourage you to trust Christ? He didn't, and he wouldn't. And I said, would you please? And he just stared. His roommate in the other bed said, why don't you leave that man alone? Don't you see what he's going through? I said, yes, I understand. I began to perspire and sweat. Ladies and gentlemen, heaven and hell was hanging in the balance. You say, well, you shouldn't force your religion on people, Pastor. I wasn't. I didn't ask him to be a Baptist. I asked him to trust Jesus. Finally had a sense that was the end of it. I turned around and walked off. I said, God help you today, friend. How did I get to the elevator before he died? He stepped across and had one last chance, seconds before he left this life. And he didn't say no. He just wouldn't say yes. Well, Pastor Johnson, he was probably heavily drugged. No, he wasn't. No, I'm sorry. I've been in way too many situations like that to know the difference. And that was not his case. His case was he was coming to the end and he was going out the way he lived it. Now that might sound big man stuff to some people. I say unto you this morning, that's foolishness. I didn't even get home before my phone rang and the loved one who asked me to see him said he just died. Chills ran up my spine. I had never watched someone reject Christ and go to hell before. Well, he may have gotten saved already. I hope that's the case. I hope I totally missed the boat. And the reason he wouldn't say yes is because he'd already settled it. But unfortunately, I'd already asked him that. There are deadlines with God. And there's no forgiveness on the other side of one of his deadlines. Death is one of them. The return of Christ is another one. when Jesus Christ returns very soon now for his own. We which are alive and remain are caught up together, and we meet the Lord in the air and return with him to heaven. The Bible says they who heard the gospel knew about salvation prior to the return of Christ for his own are doomed. No hope. There was a deadline that was drawn there. See, you may walk out of this room today, live another 30 years from now, but if the return of Christ takes place this afternoon and you didn't settle the matter of salvation, you're lost and you have no chance to be saved. You just crossed the place where there's no forgiveness. I don't think that's how it works, Pastor Johnson. Why, those left behind books that they wrote talked about how people heard the gospel and after the rapture, they got saved and blah, blah, blah. Those people don't know the Bible from the fuzz on a peanut. The scripture is clear. God will send them, who? Send them strong delusion that they would believe a lie because they believe not the truth that they might be saved. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's the Bible. I didn't make it that way. That's not right, Pastor. It's true. And if Christ comes right now, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, the saved are caught up and you're lost. Do you hear me this morning? There's a place where there is no forgiveness. There are deadlines that God sets. And the deadline, as we mentioned earlier, is the deadline of our last rejection of Christ when we say, well, no, not this time either. No, not now. One more time, listen to me. You have the grace and the free will to say no. God's sovereignty draws the line when you say no for the last time. And then you cross a deadline. Now, God set that deadline for every one of us. For most of us this morning, God was merciful, and we came to the place of conviction where we realized in repentance we turned to Christ and got saved. That doesn't make us any better than anybody else on this planet, but I think it makes us just a notch smarter. My friend, there is a place where there is no forgiveness. You don't want to get to that place. You just don't. So then if I murder somebody, God would forgive me. That's right. Because the Bible doesn't say you murder someone, I'll never forgive you. Some religions have cardinal sins and venial sins and all these other, they list their particular sins that they consider so bad and awful. And when the truth of the matter is, every sin we ever committed put a nail in the hands of Jesus Christ and in his feet and a thorn crown on his brow. And sin is sin to God in many respects. And my friend, he's amazingly willing to forgive so much, but there are places where there is no forgiveness. We just don't want to get to that place. Now look, if you've never settled the matter of salvation in your life, now's the time. This is the place, and this is your moment. Settle it today and be sure. Do you know that you know without a doubt that you have eternal life and salvation? If you're not sure, could we help you? Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.